Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. We've been talking about the separation of church and state, and the issue came into sharp focus recently when on April 15th, a U.S. federal judge named Barbara Crabb exhibited what we call judicial activism when she single-handedly ruled the government setting aside a day of prayer violates the establishment clause of the U.S. Constitution. And although we would quickly argue that the National Day of Prayer does not force anyone to pray, and Congress has not put a law in effect requiring obedience, it is a graphic example how some want to interpret the First Amendment as granting freedom from religion rather than freedom of religion. In fact, the case was filed in Wisconsin by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group of self-described atheists and agnostics. The case was handled by Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice, who represented 31 members of Congress who disagreed with the suit. He says that they will take it to a higher court and the Supreme Court if necessary. He adds, "This decision runs counter to well-established legal precedent, and we're confident that this flawed decision ultimately shall be overturned." Randy Forbes, one of those members of Congress who pointed out the idea that it was wrong, said it represents a movement that we are seeing across the country of a small minority who want to exclude faith, religion, and morality from the marketplace of ideas. In short, he says it's an atrocious decision. Another calls it troubling, and another says he wants Congress to do everything in its power to protect the National Day of Prayer. But of course, there are those who are very positive about this decision. For example, Reverend Barry Lynn of the Americans for the Separation of Church and State said, "This is a tremendous victory for religious liberty because he sees the issue as freedom from religion rather than freedom of religion." And in another editorial, an author hailed it as a stunning victory for freethinkers and even went so far as to say, "Today, truth and justice trumped religious superstition, and the Founding Fathers would be pleased." But would the Founding Fathers really be pleased? Let's just take a moment to look at a few historical facts and legal precedents. In 1789, George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and humbly implore His protection, and both the houses of Congress have requested me to recommend, by the way, not require, to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer." In 1808, Thomas Jefferson said, "Every religious society has a right to pray, and that right can never be safer than in the hands of the people where the Constitution has deposited it." In 1812, both houses of Congress called upon the President of the United States to recommend, again, not require, a day of prayer. And then in 1863, the Senate requested Abraham Lincoln to designate and set apart a day for national prayer, believing, as did Washington, that it was the duty of nations to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God. Since the Founding Fathers first recommended this national day of prayer, there have been 135 national days of prayer, called by the Presidents of the United States. In 1952, Truman signed it into law as an annual observance. In 1988, Ronald Reagan designated the first Thursday. So given these historical facts and legal precedents, I believe there is no way the Founding Fathers would be pleased with this court decision. And neither is the National Day of Prayer Committee, by the way, who says, "This is an attack upon our religious freedom and is a sad day when an atheist or one single judge in Wisconsin can undermine the tradition of millions of others who simply want to pray for their country." Rumor has it that the event has been canceled, but that is not true. So with 30 years of tradition and hundreds of years of history and legal precedent, at the invitation of the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals, we would like to invite you to come to our National Day of Prayer in front of the county courthouse, and that will be on Thursday, May 6th at 12:15 p.m. And when we do come together to pray for our nation, I believe if the Founding Fathers were still alive, they would be very pleased when we did this. After all, didn't they institute the idea of a National Day of Prayer? And didn't they at the same time write the Constitution granting us freedom of religion, not freedom from religion? So how in the world can someone legitimately say that the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional? Join us next week at the Frontier, where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.